Blog Talk Radio.
And this is part two, combining the shows, Breakthrough Networking and The Bottom Line. And Breakthrough Networking is starring Al Fulton, The Bottom Line, with Mitchell Spain. Al, Mitchell, a combined show. This is great, like a doubleheader in baseball.
This is awesome. Yeah, and I didn't have to be here the first hour.
No, you didn't have to be. Like, what, we forced you? What is it? This is what you missed. You know, you can't believe what you missed. It is exciting. It's
it
phenomenal.
It just means I get to listen to it later.
Oh, yeah, you
I haven't missed it.
That's right. You can always hear this archive show at breakradioshow.com, breakradioshow.com. Definitely take a listen to the first hour. Phenomenal, because our special in-studio guest, Ruth Carter, attorney, author of The Legal Side of Blogging, How Not to Get Sued, Fired, Arrested, or Killed. Mitch, sounds like a book you'll read.
I want to put it under my pillow so I can get it to osmosis.
Yeah. Oh, that would be good. Anyway, Ruth, welcome back for hour two.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
This is just phenomenal. We talked about so many things that people don't know about. We got to get Mitch up to speed. Mitch, first question. What is flash mob? What's a flash mob?
A lot of people all of a sudden being in one place at one time.
And? Oh, is that what it is? Oh, okay. He wins. What does he win? Jack Clark? Oh, that's...
But they also performs that dance or...
Yeah.
Yes.
And we've recruited you because we wanted you to have firsthand experience in a flash mob, and we knew you'd say yes. So we did recruit you and volunteer you for next January, where you're going to be a flash mob participant on the light rail.
Is it still going to be around?
Yeah.
As far as we know, it's going to be around. Are we going to tell him what he's doing?
Yeah, so Ruth, tell Mitch what we volunteered him for on the rail in January part of a flash mob. Here we go.
You will be participating in the 2014 No Pants Light Rail Ride, part of the global No Pants Subway Ride.
Okay.
Awesome.
Wow. You heard it here.
You heard it here.
Aren't you curious? You want to know exactly what that means?
I will find out by then.
Yeah. I would suggest you find out immediately. Anyway, this sounds sort of fun. And, okay, so Ruth Carter, again, thank you again for joining us.
Cross-dressing is not one of the things that I generally do, but...
No, it's not. Why did you say cross-dressing?
Oh, what, you wearing a dress instead of pants?
No.
Oh, that's what he meant.
No, not that. No, it's a ride where thousands of people all over the world on the same day ride their subway, light rail, public transportation, wear from the waist up. They are totally normal. From the waist down, they're in underwear and shoes.
What do you say? You in or out?
Of course.
Okay. We're not sure what it means. You're no further questions. Your witness, Your Honor. Okay. Anyway, so Ruth, again, thank you for joining us, hour two. And we talked about many things. Wow, even stalking, harassment on the internet, those type of things, internet dating, there's not much there. Use of photos, evidently a big thing. I liked your, just doing a little summary now, I did like what you said, if the do's and don'ts. If you own it, great, you can put it on the internet, but at least have permission if you don't own it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So to use it, I think that's good advice. Don't put items on that you wouldn't put on the front page of a newspaper. And this one I like the best. I might add one person here, though. Make sure you assume four people are going to read your stuff. Your best friend, your worst enemy, your boss, and your mom. What if we added one more person? Who would I add?
Spouse?
Yes. Would that be good?
That would be good.
You mean your best... Your spouse isn't your best friend.
Well,
that's a good point.
Yeah, it is a good point, subject to debate. But if it is, if it's not your best friend, would spouse maybe be someone you would want? Because they could not only be the best friend, they could also be the worst enemy.
That is
could be even your boss. Could be your boss. Hopefully it's not your mom, though. That would be another law. That'd be a real serious legal issue.
Okay, we talked about monitoring kids.
Monitoring kids? Yeah, okay. I don't think we did talk about that. That's You want to talk about that?
We can talk about what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, what do you want?
What is
the question?
Well, one of the things.
He has two kids. He wants to give them away.
Well,
would you like them? Okay, they're up for bid. Okay, go ahead.
I'll take the lowest bidder. I mean highest.
Alrighty.
No, the fact is, you know that they get on the internet. You know that they're doing all sorts of things, but trying to keep track of what they're doing and making sure that they stay within the proper parameters can be a real challenge.
It absolutely can be a huge challenge. And my usual recommendation for parents is, if your children are participating in social media, that they should have an account also on that platform. Like, so if your kid has a Facebook page, you should have a Facebook page or a profile, and you should be friends with your child on Facebook and have the settings in such a way that you can see everything that they post. So that way, because a lot of times it is an educational process, because kids don't really fully grasp, I don't think, the fact that everything that they post is permanent. Even if they delete it, it's still on a server somewhere. And what may have seemed like a good idea in the moment, in the long run, they may look back and be like, yeah, I shouldn't have posted that. And so it's really important to teach these kids early and often about, what is appropriate to post on the internet, and what really should just either never be said or never be put in a permanent form.
Yeah, well, I remember the first time I was talking to somebody, they say, if somebody says POS, parent over shoulder, it means you really look closer. I never had that problem with my kids. My kids said, my dad's here, I can't talk about it.
They didn't know the code.
Yeah, they didn't know the code. They didn't care. They knew if I was in the room and they don't want me to hear it, they're not shy about saying, leave the room.
Now, do you have a list of things that children should not post? Like, don't say, I'm having a birthday party, and list the address. Or say, call me on my cell phone, and then list that phone number on the public side. Are there do's and don'ts for those?
Right. I mean, when it comes to, for children, make sure they understand, hey, when you're making a post, it may not just be your friends who are seeing it, but it could be, their friends or, everybody. And, there may be some creepy people out there that you don't want knowing where you live or, personal information about you. So really be thoughtful about, where you're posting certain information, like addresses and phone numbers. And is that maybe something that's better for emailing someone versus posting on your Facebook page? Mm-hmm. Things like that.
Or at the movie theater, I'll be at that certain landmark at 3 p.m. when the movie is out. Just things that other people that are not parents should not know where the kids are.
In addition to the fact that you now know where they are, you know that they're not home.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that leaves you vulnerable at home, too.
Absolutely.
Right.
So you should never say, guess what, my parents won't be home for the next 2 weeks. That could be really bad.
That could be very bad. And also when it comes to kids, talk about photographs. What are you taking photos of? And whether it's, underage drinking, which I'm not going to deny that it happens, but maybe you shouldn't be taking pictures. Maybe you probably shouldn't be doing it at all. But if you're going to do it, don't document it. There have been stories about, teenagers and sexting, where they're taking pictures of themselves and not so dressed. And
is that the guy that's running for mayor in New York? Oh, that's Andrew. Okay.
Is he running for mayor of New York?
Yeah.
Yes, you're right, he is.
He did
something
weird.
And it's there.
And it's there.
And he went out just politics for about a year or two, and now he's running for mayor, and he's in the lead, I heard, with one of the parties.
He might be. Well, also, okay, let's look back.
But you got to wonder whether he's getting the majority of votes from the women or the men.
What do you think? Would it be women or men?
I don't know. I look at this situation more broad spectrum. Remember back in the day when it would be a big deal if a presidential candidate smoked marijuana? It's like, ooh.
But I didn't inhale, though.
I didn't. Yeah. It went from I didn't do it to I didn't inhale to, did it, inhaled, awesome.
Yeah.
So someone has predicted, Dan Savage predicted, he's a podcaster and columnist, that sexting may become like that, where it may be like, ooh, someone took pictures of themselves, to, you know, maybe 10 years from now, it'll just be kind of understood like, hey, we've all done it. Or, you know, a lot of us have done it, so it's not shocking that someone running for office has done it.
So that makes it, I mean, it'd make it less shocking and more acceptable?
It might make it less scandalous in the long run. Now, I generally encourage people in general, don't take intimate photos of yourself. And if you do, you better be the one who controls where they show up. Because
Don't post.
Don't post it. You may not want to send
it to somebody. Pamela Anderson, right?
Exactly.
Although, I wonder if she did that to get more famous.
Who's to say?
Who's she married? She married the rock and roll guy.
What, Tommy Lee?
Yeah, Tommy Lee. Wow, you know your stuff.
I know stuff.
Wow. George Burns? You know anything about George Burns? You're too young for that.
Not so much.
Okay, Babe Ruth. Okay, anyway. How about this? You're talking about little kids or, you know, children, you know, pictures, phone numbers, but even big kids. I had my phone number on Facebook. Well, it says you could put your phone number. Now, I give out my number, the cell number, on the radio, so I figure it's, you know, what's the big deal? But one night, so I'm working at Wildflower. Oh, we didn't talk about Wildflower. Is that your favorite? You like that restaurant?
I do like them.
Yeah. We've had the owner on the show. Really great. They have about 13 locations.
Yes, they do. They're fantastic.
Yeah. Which one do you go to?
It depends on who I'm meeting and where I'm going. I love that they're kind of wherever, whatever neighborhood I'm
going. Yeah, they're everywhere.
They are everywhere.
I mean, strategically located.
They
which
are.
I go to the one in Arrowhead a lot.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's good. Anyway, so I'm sitting there, Wildflower, at night, probably about 8 at night. It's the one at AMC Deer Valley location. And I get a phone call, and they go, hi, this is, I forgot her name, some lady, whatever.
The names will be left off to protect the innocent.
Oh, I don't even know who it was. Let's say Angela, or whatever. And she goes, what's up? And I go, well, not much, but who is this? She goes, I'm your Facebook friend. And I go, I have a Facebook friend named Angela. Lucky I have my computer, so I get it. And I see her. She's probably in her mid-20s, I'm thinking. And I go, well, is this about the radio? Can I help you? Do you have a question? You know, I thought it was about the radio. She goes, no, just wanted to talk, see what you're doing. So I think, now, there's two things that come to mind. Either, you know, she's, yeah, weird. That's what, or maybe that. Or maybe this young generation believe that's the new way of actually making friends, just networking. Is that possible? Is that the acceptable norm these days? It's not my generation, but...
It seems to be. That's what I've noticed as well.
So maybe it's innocent, right?
It is, yes.
But I said, what can I do for you? I wasn't about to engage in social talk. And she goes, just want to see what's up, how you doing? I go, well, I got to go, but thank you for calling. Next caller. No, I thought I was on the radio. But no, I just thought maybe the younger generation, because maybe, I don't know, maybe she was 22 or, you know, 21, and I just thought maybe that's their acceptable way of interacting. What do you think, Ruth?
I think that's weird. I have never just randomly called somebody just to say hi that I didn't already have, like, an established friendship with.
Yeah.
There are people who I only know online, and we only exchange emails, we only tweet at each other. I've never met them in person. And maybe even for some of them, if we email, they have their phone number in their signature. I've never called them unless I had like a specific purpose for calling them. So no, that seems a little out there for me.
No, keep in mind that from our generation prior to social media, we were taught not to talk to strangers.
Well,
anyone that's on a phone or internet would be considered a stranger. But these individuals, they know each other from school. And if they don't know the person directly, they know the friend because it says right there, a friend of Sally, a friend of so-and-so. So it's like, oh, okay, you're a friend of so-and-so. So I know you. You must be okay because you're listed in my friend.
That's what I sort of thought maybe originally. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Mitch?
You know, one of these days I might actually sign up for Facebook. But at this point...
You're not on Facebook?
But at this point, I'm not.
You have a Facebook page. Do you realize that?
Oh, you should. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
I appreciate you taking care of that for me.
Well, before you go on, should Mitch be on Facebook is the question of the day.
Are your children on Facebook?
Yeah, and so is my ex.
Yeah, you definitely should be on Facebook.
Yeah, I would be on Facebook. Just, if nothing else, just to be friends with your children
yeah.
and see what they're doing.
Yeah, I can't wait.
See what your ex is doing.
I don't care.
Okay. And she just heard that. Okay. And, we have a caller on line one?
That's
his ex. There she is.
Boy, her voice has changed.
Well, you know, things go. She misses you, evidently. And she had to, you know, do something drastic. Okay. All right, so where were we? Facebook. Yeah, I agree with you, Ruth. He should be on Facebook.
Yes, I agree, and I think Ruth mentioned that you should have access to the public side of their Facebook profile, not just the private side. Sorry, not just the public side, but the private side, so you can see everything that they discuss.
Yeah, if they let you on, I think.
No, that's part of
part of the deal. If they want to be on a site,
yeah.
you should say, okay, if you want to have a Facebook profile, the deal is you have to be my friend, and the settings have to be such that I can see all your stuff.
Okay.
You might be shocked at what's happening. When you're away at work, I can't tell you how many parties have gone on there.
Yeah. Neither can I.
And any time, you should be able to take their – if they have their own cell phones, you should be able to take them and – open it up and just see what they're doing. What are you texting? I want to see it.
Oh, good idea.
Now, I'm a big fan of parents respecting their kids' privacy, but there are situations where, for safety reasons, you need to have access. So they should know that at any time, mom or dad can take my phone and see everything I've, you know, texted or posted or whatever.
I think that is a fantastic advice, really.
I agree.
So what are you going to do right after the show?
Panic.
Okay, I like it. Anyway, let's take a quick break right now. When we come back, we will continue our discussion here on Breakthrough Thinking. We have combined shows, actually, today. Of course, we have Breakthrough Networking starring Al Fulton and The Bottom Line starring Mitchell Steen. And, of course, in studio guest, great attorney Ruth Carter. Phenomenal. We're going to talk more later on the legal side of blogging, her book she wrote, How Not to Get Sued, Fired, Arrested, or Killed, and in Mitch's case, how to sign up for Facebook. We'll be right back.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Heinsohn & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heinsohn & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac live here at the Regis Suites in Phoenix, Arizona. This is a combined show today. We have Breakthrough Networking starring Al Fulton and The Bottom Line starring Mitchell Spean with special in-studio guest Ruth Carter, attorney and author of The Legal Side of Blogging, How Not to Get Sued, Fired, Arrested, or Killed. She also does the most unusual representation of flash mob law. You could take out one word and it'd still be interesting. Mob law or flash law? How about in-laws? Okay,
that's you're on your own for that one.
Yeah, that's a whole different topic and many jokes about that. Now, I have a couple questions and then we'll go around the panel. This has turned into a most remarkable panel. And, of course, Al, NetOne Services, IT, phenomenal. Say a few things about IT. Your NetOne Services.
Provide support for small businesses, Windows environments, Windows servers, provide remote support, which is awesome. We, via the internet, we take control of the computer and can see what's going on the screen. And we've helped Dave many times.
Many times.
Yes, and at the Wildflower Bread Company, couple of them he's frequented. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
You've saved me many times. No, really. Phenomenal stuff. Can't speak enough
just
words.
The one that says that Dave was here.
Right. The GPS shows which one he's at.
Yeah, that's right.
Each time he calls.
Yeah, it's on my Facebook. Call me. Okay. And Mitch Spean, what do you do? You're our mystery what do you do person. We checked out on Facebook. You're not there. We're confused. What do you do?
Well, you didn't check LinkedIn because I am there.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Right, before you answer, is LinkedIn good, Ruth?
Absolutely.
Okay. There we go. What do you do?
Oh, I'm a CPA.
Oh, there we go.
Which is competent professional advice.
Oh, that's good.
Other people have other ways, but I think that's a much better way of considering what you end up doing.
And a former government tax auditor.
That is true.
That's very important. That sounds impressive.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Very.
Okay, so that's... those are our panel members today. I'm curious about trademarks, you know, or like if you have a logo, or should you be, is there such a thing you can trademark a logo?
Absolutely. You
and
can,
should you?
Should you, as an attorney, I usually say yes. You know, whether you want to trademark your, you know, your business name, one of your products, your logo, when you just use your, you know, your name or your logo in commerce, you get the exclusive rights to use your mark in your established market, which, you know, maybe only be your city, but it might be your state. And if you do really well, maybe it, you know, it maybe it could be national. But if you want to guarantee the exclusive rights to use your logo, your name, your whatever, nationwide, you should register it with the U.S. Trademark Office. And actually, when I'm working with business owners, I tell them, before you pick your business name or your product name, go jump on the Trademark Office website and run a search just to make sure that nobody else is already using your name or the name you want to use. Because if it's already been registered, even if it's like a little mom-and-pop shop, you know, up in, you know, northern Maine, if they register it, they have the exclusive right to use that name on that category of goods or services nationwide. And so if you pick that for your name and you put all this time and energy into branding yourself, and they find out about it, one of two things is going to probably happen. They will either send you a cease and desist letter or they could sue you. And then the challenge for some people, they're like, oh, well, we'll just use this name for now, and maybe as we grow, then we'll think about registering. If you do that, that is one way to go. I understand why people wait, like if they're on a shoestring budget, but the risk they run is that while they're waiting, somebody else could register that mark, and they will get the exclusive right to use the mark nationwide except for your established market. And this really has happened. It happened with Burger King. The first Burger King, it was not the franchise we all know and love. It is a mom and pop restaurant in, I believe, Mattoon, Illinois. I hope I said that right. They were the first.
Illinois is right.
Okay, Illinois is right, but did I get Mattoon right? it's a real restaurant. You can look them up on Yelp. They're a mom and pop shop. They opened the first Burger King restaurant, and they are not part of the franchise at all. They're just an independent place. And then after they opened was when the Burger King franchise came into being. They registered the trademark Burger King. And so the franchise has the exclusive right to use the phrase Burger King in relation to a restaurant nationwide, except for a 20-mile radius around the mom-and-pop restaurant. The mom-and-pop restaurant had the exclusive rights within that 20-mile radius. Burger King franchise cannot be found in that 20-mile radius. Additionally, that mom-and-pop restaurant can never expand outside that 20-mile bubble.
With the same name, you mean?
With the same name. If they want to expand, they have to rebrand.
Wow, that's amazing. So you can use a name that's registered, but in your established market.
Once the name is registered, no one else can use the name. If you've been using the name before someone registered, you can keep using it, but you can't expand your market. You can't get bigger.
Now, who decides to... How is the 20 mile decided?
Often it's decided by a court.
Wow. How about domain names? I was always interested in this. I have clients and they've tied up a lot of names. And then I didn't go crazy with it, but I have certain names too that some I use, some I think I'll be using. Does that have, what's the connection between actually owning that or leasing it? I guess you really don't own as long as you pay the fee. I guess you sort in essence do.
Right.
But what's the connection between that and a trademark or a registration? I mean, if you have a domain name, does that give you any additional rights or any privileges, or is there any connection there?
Well, I mean, when you buy a domain, it's yours. No one else can take it from you in general. Unless it looks like you're doing some type of, like, cyber squatting issue where, like, you're just sitting on the name or you're offering to sell it, like, oh, I'm gonna snap up all these domains and then offer them for sale, you can't do that. You also can't look like you are trying to ride someone else's coattails. So that's kind of where the trademark issue comes into play, is if someone looks at your domain and thinks that you're affiliated with another company, that company could have a reason to make you give up that domain to them and claim that you're doing some type of unfair competition. But in general, if you have a legitimate reason for having a domain, and especially, like, let's say you do have a blog where I have a friend in town, his name's Don Burnside, He loves his Mini Cooper car. He's all about his Mini Coopers. And he has a domain, dbmini.us. And he completely disclaims and discloses on his site that he is just a fan of the car. He's not affiliated with Mini. He, you know, not an employee, nothing. So it's really crystal clear that he is not with them. But he's a fan, and he talks about the cars. And he has a podcast about the cars and blah, blah, blah. So in that situation, anyone who looks at his site, especially if you look at his domain, on its face, you wouldn't necessarily assume that dbmini.us was a Mini Cooper site. And when you go on it, you can tell that he's not affiliated with the company. However, if somebody had, you know, minicoopercars.com or something like that, and they were making it, and they put like the logo on it, and a person who came to the site couldn't necessarily tell that it wasn't like an affiliated Mini Cooper site, that could be maybe a situation where the company would want to come in and say, no, that's, you're riding our coattails. You either need to change your site or, you know, give up the domain. But if you have a legitimate reason, and there have been situations, I think there was an issue with the website for PETA. I can't remember if it was PETA.com or PETA.org. But of course, you hear PETA, you think of the animal rights group. But
no, I think of the restaurant.
I thought of bread.
Yeah, me too.
PETA. Oh, sorry, PETA, P-E-T-A.
Oh, I thought it was PETA Jungle, the restaurant.
Oh, there's that. No, P-E-T-A.
Okay.
You know, which people for the ethical treatment of animals.
Yeah.
Well, someone registered PETA, I think it was .com, and they created people eating tasty animals.
Oh, really?
Really. And I think the animal rights organization was not happy about it, but because they had a real reason for having that site, they couldn't stop them.
Wow. What about, so if someone has a domain name basically exactly the same as a trademark name, is there a conflict there?
There could be. I would look at what is that person doing on that domain.
Let's say it's a legitimate reason of business, and it's just, that's the way it goes, right?
It just happens, like the acronym matches or something like that. Yeah, as long as there's a legit reason. And I think there was a situation where it was a celebrity's name. It was like celebritynamed.com, and it was a fan site. And they totally disclosed, we're fans, we're not them. And the celebrity wanted the domain. And so there's an arbitration process you can go through through ICANN, I-C-A-N-N, which is basically the Internet. And they control all the IP addresses and all that. And that's where you resolve domain name disputes. And they came down and said, no, the fan site can continue to exist because they have,
wow,
they have a legitimate reason, and they're not riding your coattails.
That's amazing.
So
actually, and they used this, the celebrity's name.
Yeah.
Wow. You know a celebrity, you want to use their name?
Good luck getting their domain now.
Oh, yeah. Probably no more.
Yeah, this was early on in the internet domain, when people didn't think, if you think you're going to be famous, snap up your domain before you establish yourself. Or nowadays, people are like registering domain names for their children's name when, like, even before they're born.
Oh, wow, really?
Oh, yeah.
You mean like Northwest.com?
Something like that, yeah.
What was that? Remember? It was
Kardashian.
Yeah. Did you hear about that?
Oh, yeah.
That's sort of weird, isn't it?
Celebrity baby
names. They have names like Apple.
Right.
And Moon Unit, going back a little further.
Moon Unit? Yeah. Moon Unit.
I don't think I heard about that one, but yeah, people give their kids crazy names.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Northwest. Al, would you ever do that?
No.
Southeast? Okay.
No.
Now, let me ask you this, let's take a quick break, actually. It's time for a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to ask a couple more questions, like the most common issues in the world of cyberspace. That's a sort of a global question, but I think people may want to know that. I think probably we've talked about some of those. Maybe there's some more. And we will be back right after these words.
Do you owe money to the IRS?
Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Ridenour, Heinsohn & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heinsohn & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, live from the Regis Suites in Phoenix, Arizona. We're combining shows today. Of course, we have Breakthrough Networking starring Al Fulton and The Bottom Line starring Mitchell Spien with amazing guest star Ruth Carter. I've called you amazing even though your shirt says legally awesome.
Yes, it does.
Awesome. Amazing.
I take all compliments. That's perfectly fine.
What does amazing and awesome have in common, Al?
They both start with A?
Yes, that is quite correct. And anyway, we're talking about
an M in them, too.
Wow, how do you know that? Good point. Oh, yeah, that is a good point. Anyway, author of The Legal Side of Blogging, How Not to Get Sued, Fired, Arrested, or Killed. Now, before we get a little bit more into the book, a question. And maybe we've covered some of these things already. We've been on like an hour and 45 minutes already. Most common issues in the world of cyberspace, anything that comes to mind that you would want to let our listeners know?
You know, the one thing I
say over and over again, and I feel like a broken record, is think before you post.
Yeah.
You know, today's righteous indignation may be tomorrow's regret. And because you can easily download and share anything that's posted, something that you put out there can take on a life of its own, and you really have no idea where it's going to end up. So unless you're willing to own whatever you want to, whatever you say in every situation for the rest of your life, potentially, don't say it.
It's like a tattoo.
It's like a tattoo.
Yeah.
It's a really good way to look at it.
Yeah, you might love it when you first have it done, but a year or two, three later, you may wish you never.
Especially if you've gotten a divorce and the name changes.
Well, yeah, I met someone. Well, I knew someone at a certain restaurant, and she had the name of her like ex boyfriend, like really big on her, like her arm or something. And I go, well, ex. I go, well, what do you do now? She says you got to find someone with the same name.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kidding about that part. But no, that's horrible. I'm not a big fan of tattoos. How about you, Ruth?
I love tattoos. I think they're fantastic.
Really?
But I also tell people, especially like 18-year-old kids,
yeah,
you know, think hard before you put something permanently on your body. Make sure it's something that's going to be applicable and that you're going to love it when you're, you know, old and gray and saggy and... Yeah, so think hard before you...
It may look a lot different when you're...
It may look a lot different.
Depends where it's located, right?
Exactly.
And with social media, you get to choose your causes wisely, because once you choose a side and you choose that cause and you start posting, that's indelible as well. That will always be out there, so you can't retract it.
Yeah, you can't retract it. The best you can do is damage control.
Well, I think you can take down stuff on Facebook, right? But it's always there somewhere?
Yeah, no, you can delete posts, but
somewhere still?
It's still on a server somewhere, and you don't know who took a screenshot of what you posted before you took it down.
Oh.
I actually had that happen.
Really?
Well, I was in, sort of. When I was in law school, I was actually cyber harassed via the school email system, which was really frustrating. And I actually ended up going through my college to say, this is going on. I've done everything I can to try to, you know, get it to stop. Can you help me?
I mean, there was a person through the school system?
Another student.
And they used the system?
They were using the school. They were doing it through the school's email system, which was a violation of the university rules.
And the guy, Greg, who's the guy that plays, he was in the Magician movie and the Facebook. Who? What's his first name? Who? Jesse? So Jesse Eisenberg couldn't track this guy down? Ever see the movie, Facebook?
I didn't see it.
Oh, but Jesse Eisenberg, you guys saw it?
Really?
Well, I knew you wouldn't see it. You don't believe in Facebook. Al.
No, I didn't see it.
Did you see, now you see him, now you don't, the movie?
Just the previous.
That's Jesse
Eisenberg. Just the no, you don't.
Okay, back to you. So tell us what happened there.
So the university was actually, my college was wonderful and said, okay, let us have a discussion with her about, you know, the inappropriateness of her.
Oh, you knew who it was?
Oh, I totally knew who it was. It was through email. So, yeah, no, we both knew who we were.
Wow.
The assistant dean of my college had a conversation with her about why her behavior was inappropriate. It did not go well. She was not very receptive to the message. And so after that conversation ended, she went on Facebook and made a very nasty post about me. And I happened to be online when she made it, and I took a screenshot of it. And I forwarded it to the assistant dean and went, okay, I guess that didn't go so well, did it? And like within 5 minutes, she realized that probably wasn't the best thing to post online, and she had deleted it. But by then, I had a record of it. I mean, of course, it's still on a Facebook server somewhere. But I forwarded it to the school. It's probably in her file. So in the event that someone ever contacts the school, like for a recommendation or wants information, if they open up her file, they're going to find that she was involved in a situation where she was, you know, at least accused of, you know,
acting inappropriately and
accused of emailing another or harassing another student via email.
That is amazing. So that is great advice. Just be careful what you post.
Be careful. Be very thoughtful.
Just make sure you realize when you post something, see, this is how, I'm going to show you how I remember things. Your best friend, just pretend you're, assume your best friend will read it. Al, what's the second one?
Boss.
Boss, that's actually the third one, okay. But that's acceptable. Next one.
You, the fifth one is the
spouse. I knew you would know that because the ex has a Facebook and you don't. So it's worst enemy.
Mm-hmm. And?
And mom. And we added maybe spouse. Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. My mom passed away, though.
Okay. In that case,
and I don't know that,
before.
And I don't know that she can necessarily get onto the computer anymore.
Right.
Hey, you just never know. That's
never
a whole
know.
Different topic, though. And we'll talk about it another time. Anyway, let's talk a little bit more about your book, of course. We have maybe 10 minutes left or so, I suspect. The Legal Side of Blogging, How Not to Get Sued, Fired, Arrested, or Killed. How'd you come up with that title?
It actually came out of a blog series I wrote early on in my blogging career. Just I wanted to look at what are the legal issues you have to worry about when you're a blogger? And because there really wasn't much written about the legalities of blogging, especially written for bloggers in, you know, English. So I wanted to do a book that translated the legalese into English and just kind of gave practical suggestions and information. So somehow, I stumbled onto the idea of, you know, how not to get sued, fired, arrested, or killed.
That's incredible. How long did it take you to write this book?
To actually sit down and write it, I had done a lot of the research through various projects, but to actually sit down and compile it all together, I think it took about 3 or 4 months to write the first draft and then another 3 or 4 months to go through the editing process.
And you can get it where? Amazon?
Or? Through Amazon.
Nice. And when did you release it? What was that?
Last fall.
So a little... What can people expect to gain when they read this book? What will they come out of? What knowledge, what insights will they gain reading it?
My goal is to give bloggers and really anyone who posts information online just a solid foundation about what types of things do you need to be asking yourself when you are making posts and when you're active online about, you know, who, you know, what do you own, how can you use other people's material, how can you avoid issues with things like defamation or invasion of privacy, what do you need to be worried about in terms of your job, you know, can you get fired, yes. And then, you know, there are a couple of legal issues, especially if you're going to be pushing the envelope and maybe when you're going out there on a, you know, on a political realm, into the political arena and having strong opinions, or you want to have some strongly worded posts about individuals, you know, what do you need to be thinking about before you put it out there so that you're not maybe crossing the line into some type of harassment situation? And, you know, the truth is you actually can be killed because of your blog. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, but technically there are laws in other countries that if you violate them, you could be put to death. And there are some that that you could potentially commit with your blog. Now, if you're not a big international traveler, you don't really have to worry about it. But in some countries, like, it's illegal to say anything that's anti-government or, I think one of them was, like, something related to, like, anarchy or witchcraft. In another country, it's illegal to be homosexual and, you know, all –
religion, even in some countries.
Absolutely. So,
wow.
You know, that's a little tongue-in-cheek. It's like 11 countries or something where you can be killed because of your blog.
So if you wrote a blog from the U.S., traveled to one of these 11 countries or whatever, and they saw it and caught you, even though you wrote it before you went in, you could probably get arrested.
Potentially. You would probably have to be pretty internet famous to hit their radar so that they would be keeping track of you to see if you entered the country. So it's unlikely to happen, but it could.
Yeah, especially if you post your picture and then you become famous. You would be databased. You go through the airport. They'd know by facial recognition who you are.
Like Sarah Palin could have some issues.
I don't know what she posts on the internet, but maybe.
Oh, something about Russia from her backyard. Okay, just kidding about that one. Anyway, that could be a problem. But Okay, so this sounds like a really good book. I read a review, and it was a very good review, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah, it. And how much does it cost to get this one, the book?
It's $3.99.
That's a really, that's well worth it.
Yeah, I think
that
so.
That is just well worth it. I've never downloaded an ebook, so you just buy it and you just download it on your computer, I guess, huh?
You can download it to your computer. You can download it. I see you have an iPad in front of you. There's a Kindle app. You can download it to your iPad. You have a Kindle. You just download it there. Yep. Amazon will.
Or
will
you
show,
talk to Al and let him.
Talk to Al and he'll just do it for you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just faster. Just give it to the IT guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Exactly.
Right there on the Amazon. Web page, when you click on it, it says right in the bottom right corner, it says there's an app that you can download the viewer, even if you don't have Kindle. So you just click on that app.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Really? For the iPad?
Uh-huh. It's right there on.
Wow.
It says excludes BlackBerry. So it says Android, iPad, iPhone. Just click here and it'll install the app.
Not BlackBerry.
Right, because they don't show display graphics the same way as the other.
They've
apps.
Had some issues, haven't they?
Yes. But they just came out with a new phone, their X10, I believe, which is more smartphone savvy.
Oh, good. Yeah, they were falling way behind.
Yes.
So this is most fascinating, and I do believe that, and I'll say it again, and Mitch wasn't in on this one, so let's ask, when you're in business, what are the most important relationships you can establish when you're in business, Mitch? Let's see if he guesses it. This is a quiz.
Number one is a CPA.
Well, and one in particular.
Thank you very much. He was pointing to me. Hey, that sounded like Elvis Presley. Thank you very much. Okay. And then what's another one? Don't say a second CPA, you. Okay, maybe.
You're one of the two best CPAs I know.
That's exactly it. What's another relationship you need to establish?
Well, I always say that if you're going to put together a team, it's going to be the CPA, the attorney, the banker, and financial planner.
And the candlestick maker.
And you forgot.
Well, the IT guy is important. He's the one that's bringing them all together to begin with.
Yes.
In this day and age, that is a must. Now, totally agree. CPA, attorney, IT. But now Ruth has this extra amazingness to her that in social media, blogging, the legal ramifications of ahead of the curve on all this technology stuff. I think that is the turning to meet.
Yes.
No doubt. Now, you forgot one other person. Let's see if you can, one other, who's going to guess?
Doctor.
You said?
Doctor?
Nah.
Okay. We've got banker.
And candlestick maker.
Yes.
No. Banker, I don't know, maybe. But
good.
Attorney, CPA, IT, a must. What's the next one?
Well, I said financial planner.
Okay, but that is not the right answer.
I know you're looking. I know the answer you're looking for is business coach.
Yes, Ruth wins. She wins the trip to Hawaii.
You said it earlier, so she.
Yeah, that was good listening. I really believe a good business coach. So.
Yeah,
because I think the mindset. Well, let's ask Ruth. Well, we have a few minutes left. I think how important is mindset in business?
I think mindset is key, especially if you are an entrepreneur and launching your own business.
Yeah.
You need to be in it for the long run because you're going to have bad days.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have frustration. You're going to have setbacks. You're going to have doubt. And you need to be willing to stay the course. But it also needs to be the right course, which is why having the right team of people around you to make sure that you're on track is so critical because – sometimes, I would say a lot of times, things aren't going to happen as fast for you as you would like.
Yeah.
And so you need to have people that can help you evaluate, you know, what are you doing? What's working? What do you need to do next? So I think that's critical. And I would add, not only is a good business coach a good person to have, but in this day and age, I also think you need to have at least an outside marketing professional that you can at least consult with. Just because it's so complex and there's so much strategy involved now that I wouldn't expect the Joe average new business owner to know enough to be able to create their own marketing strategy without outside help.
I agree. And it's technical as well.
Oh, yeah. No, that, yeah, so a technical coach.
What I'm saying is there's marketing strategy, but then it's a technology to implement it. So there's one thing to know about Facebook and have a plan, but then you need to have someone who actually implements it or can implement it.
That totally makes sense. And let me ask Ruth another question. We have 2 minutes left. Real quickly, neuro-linguistic programming. Ever hear Tony Robbins? Big motivational speaker.
Yes.
All about mindset. Anyway, that's what Breakthrough Thinking is about.
The tall part is the part that made her realize who it was.
He's tall, 6'7", actually. Ruth, give out some contact information. How do they get in touch with you?
If you want to get in touch with me, my email address is ruth@carterlawaz.com. The website is carterlawaz.com. And if you go there and click on the contact tab, that will take you to all of my social media contacts, my LinkedIn, Facebook, Google+, YouTube, and Twitter.
Wow, nice, Lisa. Al, how do they get in touch with you?
I noticed she didn't give out a phone number.
If you want to call me, 602-644-1701.
Net1 Services, so it's net1services.com. Reach me by email, and that'll be alf@net1services.com. Phone number, 602-989-2334.
Excellent. Mitchell.
Mitch@jfdpc.com. Phone number, 602-266-5633. And what about you, Dave?
Oh, 602-625-3074. 602-625-3074. Ruth Carter, thank you so much. I want to get you on again. This was invaluable. And I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. Mitchell, thank you. And Al Fulton, thank you. We'll see both of you next month, first Tuesday. You're both up. You're welcome.
Thank you.
And very happy to have you in studio here live at the Regis Suites. This is Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. We'll see everyone tomorrow with Breakthrough Sports, Real Hockey Talk. A lot to talk about right after the draft on Sunday. A lot of hockey, and tonight, the fate of the Phoenix Coyotes. We'll know. See you tomorrow.